Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you doing over there?
Well, getting frustrated with Mother Nature, can't make up her mind.
Well, that's, earlier this week, I thought that everything was nice, and Monday was sunny. And
43.
And then Tuesday, it's snowing, and then it's freezing rain. I'm with you. I thought we were putting out the good vibes to get rid of all this.
I still have my inflatables on the lawn for Christmas. I am not picking them up till the ground is bare.
No, I know exactly what you mean. The good news is, though, as soon as we got everything off the roads and people could kind of see the yards and stuff, I tell you what, we have just had a massive flurry of activity in the housing market.
I like that.
Yeah, you like flurry? I got that in there.
He's here all week. Try the veal.
And then to tell you what, McKay, last week we always like to just give. I know this is a real estate show, but that was a heck of a big game last weekend.
Yes, it was.
And I mean, you definitely want to stay for the second half.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially for the commercials, Lance.
Oh, you saw the commercial, Mike?
We talked about that last weekend, that there was going to be a Kenmore team commercial, and there was.
I saw it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm just wondering how many people saw Love the Tri Hat on that table as you walked by, and it was on screen for about 3 or 4 seconds.
You know, I did. That was a lot of fun. I had a couple people comment to me on that, and then my son had taken a picture of it and put it on his Instagram page too. And so, yeah, when we went to New York and we're hanging out with Barbara and filming our commercial there, I did sneak a Love the Tri Hat onto our set, and so gave a little shout out to the charity there, and Barbara loved it. That's something.
Good,
that's
commercial.
Like, thank you. It was a lot of fun to do. She's been a mentor to Karen and I, and you know, for years we've followed her philosophies and read her books, and so now to be able to have that interaction, it helps us in what we do, not only from a marketing standpoint, but from a business standpoint. She's absolutely brilliant, and so it's a lot of fun to get those opportunities, and we were happy to get some Love the Tri exposure in there. So it was a good time for sure, a great game, and yeah, mm-hmm.
The commercial wasn't as funny as the Buick I'm Cam Newton. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
I'm Cam Newton, and all of a sudden the kid goes.
Yeah, I did see that. Now McKay too. The budget for the Cam Newton shot was a little higher than my budget,
but it was still a great commercial.
So, good. Well, we always like to start off with a kind of a crazy national celebrity housing story, and I was shocked when I saw the story. In fact, I thought it was the same story that I reported about a month and a half ago, but it wasn't. And so the headline was, and this is coming off of Zillow, the headline was Donald Trump's childhood home in Queens had sold. Well, I already did that story. So I'm like, why are they rerunning the same story? And then I read into the details. It wasn't the same story. So about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I had mentioned that Trump's childhood home in Queens was for sale. Well, what happened was it was first listed last summer for $1.65 million, took a couple of price cuts, and then a company, Paramount Realty, was going to auction it on the evening of one of Trump's and Hillary's debates. Well, the auction got postponed, and then a real estate investor came in and bought it. So the story we had reported on the show was that home had sold for $1.39 million. That real estate investor, though, in turn, he flipped, turned around, already auctioned the home off. As you can imagine, good, bad, or indifferent from the exposure, the value of that home, depending upon how you look at it, it could have gone a lot of different ways. Well, he ended up already reselling it And this was the kind of the crazy part about the story is that bidding process when it resold, they're not disclosing the sales amount. Now I don't know exactly how they're going to get around that with assessor data and that type of stuff. I'm assuming at some point we'll see that number come out. So that home's already changed hands like three different times in the last 3 months. So I can't wait till the numbers come out and we can see how that publicity affected value. So that is truly a crazy real estate story. We don't see people buying and flipping and talk about speculation. I think there's some outside forces there working on that one for sure. Well, one of the things we always like to do is talk about what's going on in the local market, what's happening, and bring those show topics here to the real estate show. One of the things we see a lot is the Tri-Cities in the last year and a half, 2 years, has gained a lot of national exposure to investors and investor groups. So we're seeing a lot of money flowing into our community, coming in from outside investors and groups. And we're also seeing that real estate market has had a lot of appreciation. When that happens, you get more people looking to buy investment real estate. State, turn their current residences into investments, and then put tenants into those properties and have a different kind of investment in their portfolio. So one of the things we like to do is bring somebody in from our team that's an expert. We've talked about it on the show before. We've gone over it that Kenmore team operates a property management division, and one of the managing brokers of that company is RJ Lang, and we've actually got him in the studio on the radio for the first time. We've got RJ Lang with Kenmore Team Property Management here. RJ, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Lance. Really appreciate it. It is my first time. Nice to see you again, Mike, and thank you, John. We do have a lot of investors around the area right now, especially that they acquiring their homes either through purchases like Mike Denslow with the lenders, or with advice for tax purposes from their CPAs, or maybe they inherited property and their attorney said that they should turn it into a rental. But most of the investors want what's best for their homes and their greatest returns, but don't know how to do this. So they don't want to deal with finding a quality tenant or any of the issues that come up with dealing with the rents, the landlord-tenant responsibilities, or even the untimely problems with their home.
Yeah, and you bring up a lot of great points in there, RJ. I mean, you're exactly right. And, you know, we could probably break down each one of those points and make an entire show about it. But the first one that really hit me when you brought it up was how do we do this? And I think that's like what a lot of people ask. You know, maybe they say, gosh, I have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. I think it would be a great rental. I'm about to buy a new home. And so, gosh, maybe I should just keep this one and keep paying it down and turn it into a rental. But how do I find a tenant, or how do I know that's a good tenant? So under professional property management, what's the next step? Say someone does want to turn their house into a rental. What do you do? You get that call and you're like, hey, RJ, Lance told me to call you. I'm thinking about turning my house into a rental. What happens next?
Well, next what I do is have a conversation with them to see what their goals are in regards to their house as a rental. I mean, if they want to make the most money, which is typically the case, we'll go ahead and go out there and give them an analysis of what their house can bring in, if there's something that will work for them and cover their expenses and ours as well for what we provide, then maybe it's something that'll work great for them.
Absolutely. And so when you do that, you mentioned another thing about in there that you went through, and another point you said was about, so you've developed a base rent and you've given them analysis. And so much like we do in the sales side, how much is my home worth if I sell it? You're using your knowledge and your stats and how quickly things have been renting, and you're giving a rental analysis. So once we have that, and we decide to move forward and get it on the market for rent, what do you do about finding or screening tenants? I mean, how do you know when you've got a good tenant if you've never done this before?
Right. That's a great question. Yeah, a huge issue, especially with rental properties. So, and that could cost you a lot of money in the long run if you don't screen properly. We do have an awesome marketing system with new technology that offers significant online web presence, and we use Zillow, Trulia, our website at KenmoreTeamPropertyManagement.com, LovelyRealtor.com, and Homes.com. Those tend to bring in the most tenants that I find will turn into quality tenants. But with the screening, to touch on that second subject there, we go through a professional screening company that goes all their past rental history, credit report, evictions, their criminal history, employment, and income. We also check, which is not real typical in the industry, but we Google their names and we check their social media profiles to make sure who they're associating with. You know, we get a better picture of what a good tenant would look like.
Well, you have to be careful because every time you turn around, you're hearing about people that get evicted, and the landlord goes in there and they turn the place into a mess.
No, McKay, you bring up a great point, and that's where we can get into some significant costs. And actually, I wrote that down as one of my questions, and we'll talk to RJ about that in a little bit. Before we scare you with how much that can cost, Mike, in that scenario that we gave, sometimes this might prevent some hurdles or some opportunities on the lending side. So someone decides, hey, why don't I just keep my residence that I've paid down and have equity on as a rental and then go buy a new house? How does that scenario affect you on the lending side?
Well, it depends on their debt-to-income ratio, obviously credit, a lot of different factors. But I liked what RJ said, and I wrote down a note right away, is what are the goals of the client?
Yeah.
How many times have we talked about that? And that's why I like to meet with people so that we can go over those goals just in general. So perfect, RJ. That aligns exactly with how I operate my business too. But I see it about 50-50 on my end of somebody wanting to get into owning and buying an investment property, and then the other 50% are, yeah, I'm going to turn my house into a rental and buy another house. It goes back, oh man, there's so many factors, but like I said, credit, assets, debt to income is something, all those things have to be looked at. So again, sit down, just like RJ said, go through all the goals, talk to them about money, income, credit, all those things, and then figure out what's best for them. Sometimes they can't do that right out of the gate, and then they have to save for a little while longer. It's not as such a good idea. I like the idea of them talking to RJ and figuring out, hey, is this house that I'm selling a good investment property? Is it a good setup for one? It's only 4,500 square feet. You
know? Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe that's not the best, you know,
right,
investment property for our area. But so, yeah, talk to the experts like us, and, yeah, we'll figure it out.
No, that sounds good. And actually, Mike, yeah, you bring up a great point about that, is sometimes that analysis is, you know, we go out and, maybe it's a steep driveway and maybe the yard's not fenced, or, you know, and maybe people are looking in this price range for more fenced, or maybe it's too big. Maybe the price of the home and the square footage, maybe it doesn't return the rental amount you need. So that's all definitely part of that initial consultation and what we're wanting to provide for the clients. It also gives us a lot of flexibility, because when we're doing that analysis and looking at that, we're not only helping someone determine if the rental rate is a good amount, but if that's not a path that they're looking to go, then we can work hand in hand with our residential division and the sales side of the business. So why RJ's trying to rent a property, we've even done times where we're trying to rent it or potentially sell it at the same time, because the client, it's an either or situation for them. And so if we can rent it first, great, then we'll keep that as a rental. If we get it sold, then we'll get it sold. So we just have a great communication network being in-house and between our two divisions that we can have a lot more flexibility than some other companies can because of that.
You only have two divisions?
Well, no, we have commercial too. Okay. So we can do it on the commercial side. But in that scenario, those two it really, really helps. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to RJ in property management a little bit more about condition issues, type of things that he's looking for in the rentals. And then, like John mentioned, with evictions and repairs, we're going to get into a little bit of that, how we can help take some of that headache off of you so that you can have your investment but not have the headaches that come along with it.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here with our lending specialist, Mike Denslow from Home Street, and back with RJ Lang from Kenmore Team Property Management. We've been talking about professional property management, having and owning investment properties, some of the factors you need to consider. And before the break, RJ had brought up some of the points about professional management. He talked a little bit about advertising for tenants and getting things filled. And then also we got into a little bit because McKay reminded us about some of the horror stories that can happen. And, and in fact, even on the show before, we've told stories about mistakes that people have made, or maybe you're managing a property from out of state, for instance, or you're buying properties here. So RJ, I guess one of the questions that comes up, and McKay brought up a good point, and that is, how does this work with move-ins or move-outs? Like, what happens in those instances? How do you protect the properties and the landlords, and maybe even the tenants at the same time, when you're doing that? How does that move-in process work?
Right. Yeah. So, in all my 8 years in the local rental market here, we've always gone through a protocol of having an initial walkthrough to where, with that property, it's going to have everything that are the pre-existing conditions, right? And then we move in a new tenant, we'll have them sign off on the condition that they were given the property. Now, when they move out, we will also have another report that shows whatever damages there were, what cleanings were necessary, if there was carpets that need cleaning, and so on and so forth. And we go ahead and match the two up and determine what the tenants are responsible for. So that kind of safeguards, number one, the tenant from additional charges, but also protects you as the owner to make sure that you're getting all of what your property was like back in normal condition.
Yeah, and I think from the, you know, when I talk to friends or maybe people that do this themselves, is I think what happens a lot of times is people are a little loose about that, and maybe they don't have those forms, they don't have those checklists. You know, they get somebody in off of Craigslist, they seem like a nice person, and yeah. And they're moving them in, and everything was great, and there was a couple stains on the carpet, and then at move out, the tenant's claiming that, you know, that they weren't stains in the carpet, they were holes in the carpet. And so without a signed document like the process you just went through, it's really hard to prove what happened when. And I can imagine that's probably the source of some of the biggest headaches. The other thing that I wrote down before the show to ask you, RJ, is repairs. I think a lot of people, when they look at managing their own property, they're like, geez, I don't want that call about the broken pipe. I don't want that call about not having water in the property. How does that work when a property is professionally managed with you?
So we're always available for the tenants and as well as the owners, but mostly the tenants when a problem like that comes up, and typically it will be an emergency situation late at night. And so we get those phone calls and have to call somebody out. And those are things that the owner, why they hire us, don't want to have to deal with. I mean, that's a headache waiting to happen. But now when we deal with those situations, we make sure that we have quality contractors on staff, or not really on staff, but who we hire out. And so we use regular contractors that give us a significant discount, especially with working with professional property management. So we will get that information out to the owners at a convenient time so that you know, they can make the decision on where we need to go next if that's where they want to go with it.
Absolutely. And then I think part of that comes down to accountability. So I know that was one of the biggest change when we opened Kenmore Team Property Management, and RJ came to me and we had an opportunity to purchase another company and get this going and grow that company. And one of the things that we wanted was a lot of accountability and transparency in our reporting. And I know that's a big change. You spend a lot of time on that, and we go over that. But how does the landlord know what's happened?
Yeah, that's a great question, and something that we've been working with through the last year that we've been in business. We've been putting in a system to where all the work orders that come in or all the repairs that need to be made, any expense that comes through your property, we will notify you once either we receive the estimate or the invoice. So you are, as you said, it's very transparent and you are informed throughout the entire process of when we get the invoice, and then we go ahead and pay it and you receive it on your monthly statement that we issue to you each month.
Absolutely. And having that portal and that statement available for people to look at online, you know, answers a lot of questions for our clients there. So it's really a good service. And that's one of the factors that really differentiates us, I think, from a lot of the other companies in town that are operating that way. Another, I want to go back and check back in with Mike Denslow at Home Street. I know when it comes to purchasing properties like this, owning investment properties, a lot of the same principles apply when you're in residential, but there's a lot of principles that are different. And I think you have to know what you're dealing with when they meet with you.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a little nugget in there with Fannie Mae. If you put 20% down versus 25% down, seems like a really small difference, and most people are used to the 20% down. But the rate is definitely considerably higher if you only put 20% down than 25. So something really small that can help you out. The other thing is, if you already own a home and you're thinking about turning it into an investment property and you're buying a new primary, well, you might have bought that house with a 5% down conventional loan. You live in it for a while. Your equity increases. You're ready to turn it into an investment. You go buy the next conventional loan home, could be another 5% down. So you can acquire investment properties through buying new primary residences, living them in them for at least a year, and then buy another one and put, again, minimum down. So you don't have to have 20-25% down to put together a portfolio of investment properties.
Right. You just need to find a wife that likes to move a lot.
Yeah.
Very good point. Okay. I'm just saying. I'm just keeping it real here for a guy that's married. So, we've had clients over the years that have worked in that same system, you know, where they have purchased. We've helped people, you know, buy their first fourplex, and they lived there for a couple years and they learned how to manage that, and then once they were done learning that process, then they moved to a single family residence and we sold them that and they managed the fourplex. And then those same clients have said, gosh, Lance, let's turn this into a rental. And then they've brought both that fourplex and that single family house and they says, gosh, Lance, we're confident enough now and we see what you guys are doing, and they've, on top of those sales, they've turned it over to us to manage for them now. So There's it's really cool to see people like Mike described leapfrog their investments and gain properties. And with the appreciation we've had in Tri-Cities over the last 5 years, people that we sold these properties to 8, 9, 10 years ago, they're coming back to us now and saying, wow, I never thought my property would be worth that much money.
I've got multiple clients, both single, that modest incomes, that have been doing this for 10, 12 years that have 4 or 5 houses now.
Yeah,
absolutely. Using those principles. And it's just, you look at it and you're just, every time they come in, they're like, well, it's time to buy another house and turn the last one into an investment. And I'm just, they're just setting themselves up for a good retirement.
Absolutely fantastic. One last thing before we have to go, RJ. I know there's a lot. We talked about the technology. We talked about the services you provide for tenant screening. But when it comes right down to it, I know an investor doesn't like to have their property sitting out there for rent, not finding the right tenant. We have average days on the market we talk about on the show for the sales side. Do you have an average days on the market right now or vacancy for the rentals that you're managing?
Yes. Well, I do. Currently, our vacancies are averaging 18 days. And the market's really good right now, even though it is in the winter and, you know, it's snowing and people aren't moving around a lot. We're not having problems filling those vacancies. But I did want to also state that we have found that most rental prices we are getting are higher than our clients expect. So,
and real quick, I know McKay's going to have to cut out a commercial or something. I know you have a couple for rent right now for an example. Do you have one or two examples of something you have for rent right now?
Yeah, one that I'd really like to speak on is the 433 Golden Drive over in Richland, which was a Pareto home in 2006. 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath. It's got a great in-suite bathroom and open living space area. Backyard's fenced, additional toy parking also on the east end that really needs to go.
Okay, and what's the rental amount for that property?
That one's going for $22.95 a month.
$22.95, that gets you in South Richland if you knew somebody that was coming, maybe for a year, maybe they were here on contract basis, or maybe they were wanting to just test drive that part of town. That's a great, great rental. What's the second one you have?
Well, I have a duplex over in West Richland, 950 square feet, 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom. That's going for $8.95 a month.
Awesome. So great, great examples from different levels and across the board. Like you said, 18 days and they're filling fast. We don't have many vacancies. When you look at a portfolio of 100 plus properties and there's only a couple vacancies out there, it's still a strong, strong rental market, a strong investor market. If you have any questions about professional property management, RJ, what's the website they can go to shoot you a message?
They can go to KenmoreTeamPropertyManagement.com or RJ@KenmoreTeam.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much, folks, for tuning in. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.